One of the things the angels sang 2,000 years ago was peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Someone said to me, well, Leon, there's not much peace on this here earth. There is just a whole lot of war. Well, the Bible didn't say there was going to be peace between the people on earth. It said peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You see, there will never be world peace until countries are at peace. And countries are not going to find peace until their families find peace. And families are not going to find peace until each individual person in that family has the Prince of Peace in their heart. There are two kinds of peace, you see. There is the peace that comes from external problems being solved. And then there's a peace that is on the inside even when they haven't been solved. And so in the first service, we started teaching on this, and I'm going to go to a second part in this service. But remember this thought. For the rest of your life, you will never get the life around you at peace because you can't control your boss and you can't control your customers and you can't control your spouse and you can't control your kids and you can't control your neighbor and you can't control the economy and you can't control the devil and you can't control other Christians and there's not much you can control. And so what do? You walk in a place of peace on the inside so that as things change, so that as you come into a new season of life, maybe in your marriage, maybe your kids become teenagers, maybe they get married and you find the joy of in-laws. Wherever you go, there will be challenges. And if you do not know how to walk in an internal peace, your life will be up and down like a yo-yo based on everybody else messing with you. The economy, your boss, your spouse, your kids, your in-law, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, the outlaws, whatever's good. So when you find peace on the inside, you begin to walk through life. And you can walk through rough seasons, great seasons. But if your peace is attached to your external living, then as the economy goes up and down, your money goes up and down, your marriage goes up and down, your kids go up, or whatever's going up and down, your peace goes up and down, and it destroys people so quickly. And so this Prince of Peace that we talk about, it is crucial that you understand that when you give your life to Jesus and you decide, I'm following Christ as my Savior and Lord, you came as you are, as messed up as we were, we accepted Him. And His power changed us, forgave us, and brought us into God's family. The problem most Christians have is they totally believe that God forgave them and remade them. They just don't realize that only Jesus can actually live this life. You can't. I can't. You can't live this life. Jesus is to live this life through you. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And when you realize that, you can rely on Jesus to flow through you to love your spouse. That's a cool day. When you realize that I can go to work and with all the stress and the issues and the jerks and the things that happen and backstabbing and stepping on fingers up the corporate ladder and you're in the middle of all this and you're sick and tired of all this, that you can let Jesus flow through you in your career rather than your limited ability. That's what Christianity is. It is you dying to your selfishness. It's you dying to your self-abilities. And you allowing your life, Jesus, to flow through it. That is when you will know true peace. Because around you, things can be crazy, and you'll be at peace. Around you, there can be sad things, bad things. And you can know what it is to have joy. Not just because, see, happiness comes from happenings. When things are happening good, you're happy. When things are happening bad, you're sad. Joy is different. Joy is an internal force that God brings that allows you to be at peace, to walk in joy, the fruit of the Spirit, to be kind, even in the midst of problems. I want to go on into the second part of this message, and I want to take you to a scripture that is probably given place to more false doctrine because people don't seem to understand what is being said. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. It is about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now, the Apostle Paul was an interesting man. After the 12 disciples followed Jesus around for 3.5 years, Jesus, instead of giving them the revelation that is in the New Testament, he gave it to a man named Saul, who was a murderer, who attacked the church of Jesus Christ until Jesus dealt with him one day. He followed Christ, and Jesus revealed to him the truth of what Christianity really is. So he starts in verse 7. Let me read this to you. And this is Paul talking, and he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that, you know, Jesus gave him, is a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Uh-oh. "It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly," Paul, now this is Paul, "therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities," weaknesses, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What a crazy thing to say. When I'm weak, then I am strong. It's one of the things that few Christians have learned to practice. You see, the thing that stops the presence of God, the power of God from moving in your life, is your strength. We know that whenever people are weak, God's presence seems to rise up around them, within them. But when people are strong and they think they're strong, they literally frustrate God's grace. The Bible says they fall from grace, and grace is God's ability working through you. So if I asked you, "Hey, what's the one thing you know you're good at?" And you say, "I know I'm a great dad." That's the area you're probably going to fall in because you think you're strong. "Well, I'm not that great at, I'm working on my marriage, I'm working, but I'm a good business person." That's the area that you're going to mess up. Wherever you think you have strength is where you don't think you need to ask for God's grace. But God's ability, his grace, it needs to be asked for in every area of your life. Now, most people read Paul's thorn in the flesh, and they believe that their sickness is a thorn in the flesh. I know some women that think their husband is their thorn in the flesh. I know some that think it's their mother-in-law that is their thorn in the flesh. And so a lot of doctrine in many of the denominations today has been that if you have asked God to do something in your life and nothing has happened, then it is there because God wants it there. And God doesn't want you proud, so you sick. God doesn't want you proud, so he's keeping you poor. God doesn't want you exalted above measure, so he's keeping your marriage unhappy. That is such a bunch of balderdash. Because that's not what it is saying. If you go to one of the Old Testament verses in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, you should always interpret the Bible that uses certain phrases by other verses in the Bible. And so this term, thorn in the flesh, is first found this way in Numbers 33, 55. And it just says, "But if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain are going to be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." And I'm not preaching on this, but this is where this term first arises. It's kind of like a term that we use, like if I was to say, "You know, Bobby Joe is such a pain in the neck." And 1,000 years from now, someone's reading my personal diary and they go, Leon was hurt. He had an injury in the neck. Bobby Joe must have hurt him, put him in a headlock, stabbed him, or something, because Bobby Joe gave Leon a pain in the neck. No, that's not what I was saying. And that's not what this is saying. It's not saying that this thorn in the flesh was that he had a sickness in the flesh. It's not saying that he had a problem with his eyes. People often think, well, the Apostle Paul had an eye problem. It's not what it says. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament when Jesus says you're going to suffer with persecutions, you're going to suffer problems, you're going to suffer things, it never means that it'll be against God's promises. So we don't find the disciples suffering with sickness. We don't find the disciples suffering with a lack of protection. We find that the promises of God worked. What we find is as they begin to live their lives for Christ, people would rise up against them. The Apostle Paul was whipped and beaten and shipwrecked. And I mean, all because he was sharing Jesus with the people around him. And so here, if you go back to this verse, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Nowhere in this verse does it say God gave him the thorn in the side. It just says that he was being stopped from being exalted. Now, God has no problem with exalting people. He says, humble yourself and I'll exalt you in due time. God's fine with exalting you. Paul was exalted on an island one time. They made him God. They called him God because he got bitten by a snake, shook it into the fire, and they thought he would die. And when he didn't die, they called him God. And instead of taking that exaltation, he led that whole island to Christ. Saw miracles take place. So God's not opposed to raising you up. Okay? It's the enemy that can't afford to have Christians rise up and influence companies, countries, education. So here it says the thorn in the side was a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And he said, I asked God 3 times, take it away. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Did you know that in the Bible, it teaches us that the authority on the planet is with human beings? And so when he said to, so people think that when God said to Paul, Paul goes, take it away. I asked him 3 times. Paul wasn't perfect. He wasn't Jesus. He was just a man. He was learning. When you read the letters, you'll see Paul developing and learning and growing in doctrine as Jesus is teaching him and showing him. So he asked God, take it away. But yet the Bible doesn't say that we should ask God to remove demonic attack. It says literally, submit to God. You resist the devil and he'll flee. So, in your life today, do not settle in any area and feel like this story that you've got a thorn in the side, a thorn in the flesh, that this is just the way God wants it. God wants me to stay poor, sick, troubled, unhappy. It's my lot to bear. I'm just going to get through life and this is as good as it gets. That is not what this is teaching. And as you understand God's grace is unearned favor. What is the unearned favor that God's bringing to you? It's his ability. And then Paul goes on to say, because when I'm weak, then he is strong. I remember one time coming home. I was in my mid-20s. Sal and I were married. I was 21. We were married. And I was working as a paramedic out of a hospital, and I was young and saw some really horrible things. Sometimes the guys will, you know, son-in-laws and myself, but we'll get around, we'll start talking about some of the things we've seen, and I'll tell stories, but there are a number of stories I've never told anybody, ever, because they're just so gross, so full of pain. It's people dying and being injured and life at its most painful, that you'd go into a situation. And so as a young married man, I remember going home. And I'm trying to hold down this job and walk into people's lives and to see the pain, the heartache, the hurt, the loss, the messes. And then I'd go home and then I have another life. I have a wife. I have kids. And I wasn't dealing very well with it. I just expected that Sally and my kids should understand I've had a hard day. And what do you mean I have to help you with the dishes or help put the kids to? What are you talking about? People have died on me today. I've sat beside people as they passed away, and I've done this. What are you talking about? And I remember one time us just talking, and Sally being so wise and just saying, I didn't marry a paramedic. I married a husband, and I want a husband. I don't want a paramedic. And I remember having to deal with this and saying, but you don't understand. And so I began to think this through. And here's where the first time I ever come to terms with this teaching, because I thought, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be the husband I'm supposed to be and the father I'm supposed to be and go through the mess that I'm seeing every day. And none of my friends, except maybe one, that were even have their marriages intact. A lot of them are addicts because of what they saw, what they heard. They couldn't maintain good relationships because they could never do what I'm teaching today, that you must cast your care on the Lord, because if you don't, you will screw up all your relationships. And I realized that I could let Jesus love Sally through me. I could let Jesus love my kids through me. I could go be that paramedic and let Jesus work through me to work on that person as they're dying, and then cast the care of that so that my memory banks aren't packed full of smells that harass me and last words that taunt me and dreams I can't get rid of and emotions that I cannot control. I had to learn to cast my care on him. I had to learn to not just cast my care, but to trust him, that he would live through me, he would work through me, my career, my job, that when I parked my car in front of our house, that I could cast the care of the things that I'd seen today, the things that I'd smelt today, the problems that are ongoing that aren't solved yet that I have to deal with, rather than let them destroy my ability to laugh and communicate at home. I had to be able to take this care and cast it onto the Lord so I could go in with a smile and be the husband I wanted to be and be the daddy that I wanted to be, not a paramedic that needs his family to look after him. Anybody relate to what I'm talking through? Life has stuff. Jesus said there's going to be troubles, there's going to be problems, there's going to be people, there's going to be issues. He said, don't think it's strange. He wasn't saying to Paul, oh, you poor sucker, just put up with it. My grace means nothing's going to happen. You're going to struggle with this the rest of your life. You're going to suffer the rest of your life. You're going to be attacked the rest of your life. Nothing's going to get better. My grace will keep you there. That's not what grace does. Grace doesn't keep you in the mess and just pacify you. Grace is his ability. Grace is his power. Grace is the presence of God that you don't have to earn, that you don't have to qualify, because Jesus qualified you for his grace. So stop trying to live your life on your own strength. Stop trying to be that wife and that mom and that with all the stuff going on, and you're going to keep all these plates in the air. You're going to fail. You're gonna fail, promise you. Well, it's not very nice to say that. I'm just holding it all together, barely. That's the problem. This life that we live, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There are 9 different kinds of prayer taught in the Bible. 9. They all have different rules. They're all for different situations. One of the most dynamic prayers that I learned to pray daily, and sometimes I would pray it 30, 40 times, is the prayer of casting my care on him. You see, life doesn't get easier. You don't handle less stuff as you pursue life. I was a happy single, and then I got married. And now I had to be a happy married. And that was 2 of us in that one. And then you kind of begin to develop a happy marriage, and then along comes a baby. Now that'll mess you up. Best form of birth control is a new baby. So much for romance and having any energy. And then try a second one. And then a third one. And then a fourth one. or a promotion at work where you not only are working, now you're over the team and you have to deal with your stuff, their stuff, and you got a schedule. And if someone can't be scheduled, you got to go work because you're the manager. And then everything in life. And then get a cabin at the lake so you can have a relax a little bit. Well, then who's cutting the lawn? Who's fixing the foundation? Who's trimming the trees? Who's shutting it down? Who's setting it up? Buy some snowmobiles. Who's oiling them up? Who's packing them away? Who's building the shed to put them in? And who's going to look after them? And who's going to line up the kids to put snowmobiles with them? Like, blessing has stuff. The greater the blessing, the more management. So as you succeed in life, usually your relationships don't. This Christmas, let Jesus carry some burdens, all of them. This Christmas, stop trying to be what you think you can be. I'm gonna make this thing happen. You know what? Even if you do, you won't be able to handle the next season and the next season because the load just gets too big. So start now what the Bible says, where it says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you, looks after you. I found that I would go to work in the morning in that first season of our lives, and I would say, Father, today I cast the care of making right decisions in emergency situations on you. I cast the care of the things that I see and hear and feel and the stuff that happens in my world that I have to deal with emotionally and memory banks and dreams. I cast the care on you. You know how many times I prayed that the first time I started doing that? Probably 40 times in a day. The thought would come back, I cast the care of that accident on you. I cast the care of this thing on you. I cast the care of raising my kids on you. And today, you know, with all the things that Springs is doing around the world, our churches and the school and the television station and the languages that are, and all, you know, things tend to push at you and pile up on you. And you can try to train self to handle the load. No, self can be trained to administrate. You know, that self can be trained to manage, but self can't handle loads. And so I just cast it on the cares on him. And I wonder if there isn't someone out there today that is looking at Christmas and all the thing, and here's how you look at it. All the things I got to buy and all the food I got to make, and then I got to get all the kids and this, and I got to do this, and they're coming to our house, and I got to do this, and I got that, and they're not even happy, I'm not thankful anyway. And but you can just list the stuff. In fact, you're your own worst nightmare because you have an ability to really explain the load you're under better than anyone. And you see it, and you believe it, and you think it's there, and the load is worse because you just focus on it instead of going, I'm going to stop being a hero because I can't do this. Just go, God, I cast the care of being a mom on you. You know, moms, stop following all these moms on Facebook and Twitter that look perfect and have an answer to everything. And they're super moms. You know, social media is not true. Hello, social media is not true. The picture shows her house clean, the kids clean, the kids dressed in modern style. She's as cool as they can get. Every hair's in place. Her husband thinks she walks on water. That's the picture. That's the 5-second video you saw. Let me show it to you in the morning when she gets ready. Let me show you at the night when she goes to bed. Let me, come on, get real. And let's take the pressure off. And let's just say, let's just love each other. And when things begin to get hard to bear, let's stop being a hero and just say, Jesus, I cast the care of this thing on you. From the business, the ability to make money, being a husband, a wife, a dad, a mom. Let's stop glorying in house. You know, you ever meet somebody who just loves to complain? Yeah, this morning I got up at 4:00. Well, actually, I woke up every hour because I was struggling having my sleep. And then I got the kids ready. But I'm telling you, when I got a phone call, like, people just seem to love to complain. Ever meet people like that? You can talk to me and you can share a story. They got one better. I just decided that I'm going to opt out of the cares that I have to carry, the burdens, the anxieties. And I'm just going to say, God, I cast those cares on you. And if you start that today, you'll need to pray that prayer a lot, I promise you. Sometimes I pray it all day now because you so quickly go back to your own reasoning, your own ability, thinking you can fix this, you can change this, I can hold more. Give me another plate. Come on, bring it on. I'm a leader. I'm trained. I can manage. I can lead. You're D-ing too much. Start, say, I cast the care on you, Father. And when you do, the Bible says that you shouldn't be anxious. Did you know that worry is a sin? Did you know that when you worry, that your faith turns off? So you're believing for a better marriage, but nothing's happening because you're worrying about it. Cast the cares on him. You know that you're believing for a better family, but you're worrying about it, and that's sin. Sin means you've missed the mark. You are to cast your cares so that you can be in faith. You can be at peace. You can be in joy. Wherever you worry, wherever you're anxious, wherever, it's where you've picked up that burden. You've picked up that care. You've picked up that anxiety. And because you've picked it up, God's not carrying it. And when God carries it, God heals it. God meets the needs of it. But when you carry it, you've become your own God. You're depending upon the arm of flesh. Romans 8, that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. This Christmas, just make a decision. And then for the rest of your life, make a decision that I don't have to carry the burdens. Yes, I've got to solve things, and yes, I've got to get up. But when you get up each morning going, today, I need your grace. And I cast the worries and the cares on you. And then get going. You're going to be surprised at this that comes under you. You know, going back to my first story to close, as I practiced that day after day, I didn't figure this out in one day. It helped the first week, though, I'm telling you. It helped immediately to know I wasn't supposed to carry those cares. I immediately began to be able to handle things better. But as I got better at it, I found that the second I'd get anxious or worry, I'd say, I cast that care on you, Jesus. I cast that care on you, Jesus. And I found that I could get out of my car with one hell of a bad day and walk in with a smile and be that person I wanted to be, but only because I let Jesus flow through me, let his life flow through me. It's an incredible way to live that few Christians have discovered. Oh, they believe for the miracle of salvation. They just don't realize that only Jesus can actually live this life. You can't. Come on. So let him live this life through you. And just keep praying. I cast this care on you, Father. I'm not called to carry cares, anxieties, and worries. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Some of you think that the more anxious you are, the more dependable you look. People will often say to me, why aren't you worried? Like, come on, what's wrong with you? I said, I refuse to worry. Worry cuts off my faith, and I need my faith. Why aren't you anxious? Why aren't you like messed up a little bit? Like, I want someone who cares. Oh, I care, but I just care enough to know that Leon can't solve it anyway. I just care enough to know that I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if this keeps up. So I'm casting that care on Jesus, and he'll flow through me. He'll guide me. He'll show me. I am not carrying these cares. That way, I can continue to build great relationships while the rest of my life is being built. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. But today I ask that this message would touch everyone in a very powerful way. That those who have unknowingly even become unhappy, become burdened, that don't even know how to be, that they'd let you love through them. They'd let you live through them. Father, if there are those here that don't even know you, I pray that today as I lead them in this prayer, that the greatest miracle of all would take place, where they'd be forgiven, and Jesus, you would become their Lord and Savior. With every head bowed for just a moment, I'm going to lead you in one of the most powerful prayers I know. It is a prayer of getting right with God. It is a prayer that only you can pray. God will never force himself into your life. He's waiting for you to ask him. And so today I'm going to lead you in a prayer that asks him to forgive you, asks him to come in. We're all going to pray it right from our seats. But for those that are here that would say, you know, Leon, today, include me. I need to get right with God. I need to give my life to him. Would you just open your eyes all over the auditorium, those who need to, and would you just wave at me until I see your hand, put it right back down, just saying, include me in that prayer today. I need to get right with God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you. Come to say thank you, 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 thank you. Others, just give me a quick wave. Thank you, thank you. Those in the other sites, there's a pastor, a leader at the front right now looking for your hand. God is speaking to you. You know this is true. Let Jesus carry the burden. He can, you can't. Let him change your life. Let him give you the life you've always dreamed of, and he'll do it for you. It's how much he loves you. I'll wait a few more seconds, and then I'm going to pray. So right through that screen and those other campuses, there's a pastor watching for your hand. Just give a wave. Hands are still going up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome. Let's all pray with these amazing people who are making this life-changing decision. It goes like this. Just say, dear God, I give you my life. Please forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Come into my heart. Jesus, I'm following you for the rest of my days. Please carry my burdens, my anxieties, and live your life through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, that's how beautiful that is.